When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Far back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 11:02. Mark Belusis with you. In for BT and Sal on this Wednesday, midday. 888-808-1019 is your number to call, as always. Giants early. We'll get back to your Giant calls here momentarily. A little bit of an update on the Davante Adams storyline. So, I mean, interesting where, number one, you had out in Lake Tahoe, you know, Aaron Rodgers talking about the fact that he looks forward to playing with Davante, and then he said again. And you can look at that and say playing golf again together with Davante Adams, but that doesn't mean that you've had a number of Jets come out, and the fact that, you know, kind of adding to the rumor mill about Davante Adams eventually being out with the Raiders and landing here with New York and the Jets via a trade. He's making a ton of money. Last 4 years, he's had over 100 receptions per season. He might be the most precise route runner in the National Football League, and we know the connection and friendship that Rodgers and Davante Adams do have. Then he had the Boomer report earlier this week that, you know, he thinks it's going to get done. If it does get done, late August, early September, he had the stuff from Orlovsky saying it's a done deal. You had Ada Adams' agent coming out yesterday saying, there's really nothing to it. There's no trade talks. Adams is a Raider, and all of it is baseless. Here was Davante Adams himself. He was on Shannon Sharpe's podcast, Club Shay Shay, which is it's a great listen. It really is, and it's ultra successful. Here is Adams talking about the potential of playing with Aaron Rodgers once again.
So what about these internet about you reuniting with Aaron? Is that something, you would be open to, amenable to, if this had happened this offseason? If a package, the Jets offered a package big enough to satisfy the Raiders' need and you be reunited with Aaron, would that have been something you'd have been open to?
Well, I answer like this. If I'm be reunited with anybody, it would be Aaron.
Okay.
But or be, you know, relocated and be anywhere, it would be with Aaron.
Well, there you go. But he went on to say basically that he's a Raider. Now, listen, I'm one to believe that where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, Boomer's not throwing something out there for the sake of seeing if it sticks up against the wall. You have the stuff with Orlovsky on ESPN as well. I don't know exactly where this does end up, and maybe Davante Adams ends up being a Jet. If he does, obviously the expectations get ramped up even more. But even if he doesn't, and this trade does not go down, and it just both sides can't connect or whatever it might be, for a myriad of different reasons. No one's going to argue if you're Joe Douglas in an all-in season where your job is on the line, Robert Saleh's job is on the line, you don't necessarily care exactly what you're giving up to the Vegas Raiders to go get a caliber of wide receiver that Davante Adams is and what he can mean to the offense. And, you know, as has been discussed, I mean, you have a trio of wideouts of Wilson, Williams, and Davante Adams. I mean, that is as good as it gets in the National Football League. Now the Jets' offensive line has got to be significantly better, and Rodgers, coming off a torn Achilles, has got to show himself to be back to his old form as compared to looking old. And you don't need an unbelievable version of Aaron Rodgers for the Jets to be successful. You just need him to be better than what Zach Wilson and Mike White were. And Tim Boyle were. And that is not a massive hill to overcome or a hurdle to climb if you're Aaron Rodgers. Like, if you get 80% of what Aaron Rodgers was, that's still going to be a remarkable upgrade at the quarterback position as compared to what we've witnessed here in the last 2 years. But it's interesting. I mean, you know, I don't know if Adams is frustrated. You look at the Raiders, their window is not exactly the window of Davante Adams. They've got Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell are their top two quarterbacks out there in Vegas. The Jets are a win-now situation. You know, Adams is in his early to mid-30s. He's making a ton of money. The Jets would have to do, because as we sit right now, they've got about $6 million in salary cap space. They would have to rework some deals and contracts in order to make that trade happen with the Vegas Raiders. But we'll see if it does. If it does, I mean, the world is the Jets' oyster. No one's going to complain about it. If you're Joe Douglas with your job on the line, realizing that the window is closing with Rodgers at quarterback and you have an opportunity to go get Davante Adams, well, you're going to continue to pursue that until that door closes. And we'll see exactly what it does happen. But as Devontae said, as Rodgers has talked about, you know, they're good friends. They loved playing together when they were in Green Bay. Adams is a stud wide receiver. Adams could be productive with me playing quarterback. And I don't exactly have a cannon of an arm. If he ended up here with the Jets, it'd be a remarkable, remarkable acquisition. Glen Rock, we go. It's Tom. It's the Fan. What's going on, Tommy?
The Maras are inept.
Okay.
It's on par with Wellington and his nephew, minus the feud. Last year, all in on Jones. 2023 really needed to be a step-up year. Would have been better as just one incremental season. And we were built to win last year. And, you know, years ago, Young, he didn't even want Chris in the room. And he told Wellington that. We all say Jerry Jones medals. He at least picks talent consistently better. Gentleman picks talent
better. Besides the bold statements that you're making, right, you really think it was John Mara, where I know for a fact it's not, that John Mara forced, you honestly think that John Mara forced Joe Shane to sign Daniel Jones to the contract extension he got?
Force is a strong word.
Well, no. Well, it is. He's the co-owner of the team.
Moose, you sit in meetings with people who hired you, who manage you, you know, wherever you are, any walk of life, you know, their opinion is going to carry weight. And somebody like Jones, he's not an if. He can win games, but at the end of the day, you're getting somebody who's going to be, at best, someone like Alex Smith. And all Shane has done since he's been here is not execute on what he said he was going to do. The first thing he said when he came in was, I don't extend contracts. And that's all he's done. And a big reason for that was because of the hasty decision, you know, being the only guy ever to get a pass on his fourth-year option and then to turn around and sign him in the fifth year. You know, you can call it whatever you want, force, you know, but that decision was not made by Shane alone.
Well, that's not true. I mean, well, it's not Shane alone. He's got other guys in the room. But to think that John Mara put his finger on the scale and made that decision for Joe Shane is nonsense. I know that's not true.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he was part of the decision-making process.
He co-owns the team. He co-owns the team. If you think that John Mara is not going to be in that room when contracts are being negotiated, when trades are happening, then you'd be foolish. Like, he co-owns the team.
It didn't happen with Young. Young didn't go back. Young didn't want Chris in the room. Chris was up for the job, and he told Wellington he's not going to get it. The team is being run completely different, and they're on the wrong track. And a lot of that.
How do you? Well, you know, number one is I don't know if they're on the wrong track. I talked about the fact that you went up front. The offensive line should be markedly better than it was last year. The offensive line last year was an unmitigated disaster. You just added a big time edge rusher in Brian Burns. You've got Kayvon Thibodeau. You've got Dexter Lawrence. You've got a new defensive coordinator. You got a head coach in year one, showed himself to prepare this team. How exactly is this team lost once again? And I can't go back to the past. Everything in sports has changed. Like, so the idea of the relationships or how meetings take place or who has a seat at the table doesn't matter. I don't care. The idea, though, if you're a Giants fan, that John Mara is the Jerry Jones, as, you know, some people do, as the Jerry Jones of the National Football League, or Dan Snyder, or a meddling owner that just gets in the way, what Jim Dolan was for years with Isaiah Thomas when he was running the Knicks, that idea is nonsense.
I agree with that. But guys like Neil Schmitz, Thibodeau, there hasn't been one guy in 2 years that Shane has brought in that's been worthwhile. A guy that you're like, oh, this kid, you know, Gettleman made better picks than him. Guys that were more effective on, you know, in their first or second year.
I don't know. Tom, honestly, I don't. I know there have been the criticism of Kayvon Thibodeau. I don't know exactly what you're watching, what he was asked to do, and what his role in that defense was under Wink Martindale. And it could be significantly different as with Bowen as defensive coordinator than it was with Wink. Now, you want to look at it? Yeah, I mean, Shane's got to hit on some of these draft choices. And that's where he leans on his, you know, local scouts, area scouts, national scouts to be able to go out there and do it. But, you know, you got to take a little bit of a step back. You know, it's always ready to pounce. And I get if you're a Giant fan, you're frustrated. Yeah, you've watched this team. Frustrating to watch this team. Frustrating to see this team perform the way that they have with the talent that they have on the field. Frustrating that you've got a quarterback in Daniel Jones that you don't necessarily believe in. And the Giants didn't really have an opportunity to go get their quarterback of the future, Joe Shane's quarterback of the future, Brian Daboll's quarterback of the future, because you know what? The three teams at the top of the draft in the Detroit NFL draft this past spring, they all needed quarterbacks, and they liked the guys that were there. And there was nobody sitting there with the sixth overall selection that the Giants felt comfortable taking sixth overall. So what did they bring in? They bring in this day and age of the National Football League of talented wide receivers, they brought in a playmaker like Malik Nabers. But this nonsense about Mara and the way the organization was run 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago as compared to where it is now. I mean, you get to a point here where let's have a little bit of truth serum, a little bit of a dose of reality. What is real and what is fictitious? What do you choose to believe and what do you look at and choose to believe because that's what you want to believe and what is actually the truth? Because I can say anything. I can look at it and say, well, I believe this. It doesn't necessarily be proven wrong. Time and time and time again. I had a caller call up in the first hour this morning saying that John Mara is telling people within the Giants he wants to draft Arch Manning. I mean, are we serious here? I mean, are we serious? Here's what you've learned here, and I mentioned it to kick off the program. What you've learned so far through the first three episodes here of Hard Knocks is you have to have a belief or a sense. The connectivity that Shane and Daboll have as a general manager and head coach, that's exactly what you want to have in a successful organization. Their vision as an organization of building this team up front with the offensive line and defensive line. And the quarterback, yes, is a massive question. Now you want to see if he's going to go out there and respond. Not only stay healthy, not only stay upright, not only go out there and play every single game during the course of the regular season, but play well. And if he doesn't, he's going to be out. He's going to be out. But there's no quarterback competition. There is no Drew Lock was not told that he's going to be able to compete for the starting quarterback job. Tommy DeVito's not even in the mix. This is Daniel Jones's job until it's not. And we'll find out in the regular season exactly where he is and what he can do. And if he continues to struggle, he continues to underperform, the Giants are going to have a massive quarterback issue going into next offseason that they're going to have to rectify and they're going to have to resolve. But like I mentioned, don't compound it. They couldn't get their guy in the NFL draft. Therefore, they drafted a stud wideout. Fairlawn, New Jersey we go. It's right. Jason. It's the fan. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, Moose. Good morning. I had to chime in. I was listening to you on my Alexa Echo.
Beautiful.
And I had to call and just chime in. Yeah, so I'm in 100% agreement with you. I think they address the biggest needs for this team, for the organization, the offensive line and defensive line. That's where this game is fought and won. And, you know, they went out and got two of the top free agents for the offensive line, and they traded for one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. So I think they made huge strides. And, you know, I give Shane and Daboll a lot of credit, especially Shane, because the organization has been run terribly over the last decade. And, you know, I'm a diehard Giants fan and a lot of Giants fans looking at this and saying, well, they have to make moves now and they got to win now. It takes time to build an organization that wins, especially with how this organization has been run for such a long time. And everyone just cries about the offensive line. I get it. But if you don't get that right, you can't score points, which means you're putting more pressure on your defense. And the whole thing with the quarterback with Daniel Jones is like you just said, we're going to find out what he is. You know, this is the best shot he has this year. He's got an offensive weapon in Nabers. He's got Jalen Hyatt. He's got tight ends now with Bellinger and the kid from Penn State. So he's got weapons, and he's got Motor in the backfield. And, you know, we're going to see right away with Daniel Jones what he is. I think he's a bust. I don't think he's going to be able to be successful even with the weapons around him now. But, you know, they're going to have to address the quarterback I think at the end of the season. The good thing in this scenario is that there's no more guaranteed money after this season with Jones.
No, so that's it. I mean, Jason, and that's where, you know, and you may be right. Jones might be a disaster. He might stink. You might see Drew Lock this year. I think they're going to do. They're going to give Daniel Jones every opportunity to be successful.
Right.
And if he's not, then 100%. Yes. The Giants, the fan base, everyone's going to move on, and Daniel Jones will find himself, you know, potentially being a backup quarterback or competing for a starting job somewhere else in the National Football League. Yeah, don't disagree. But the Giants responded after that first year with Jones, and Jones played well and proved to a quote-unquote quarterback guru that he could win with Daniel Jones at quarterback, right? They paid him. They paid him handsomely. They paid him the going rate that's going on in the National Football League right now. And so now you're left with a scenario, but they also gave themselves an out. So it wasn't a wholehearted, you know, 4 or 5 year guaranteed contract, all this stuff that you're seeing now in today's day and age. They gave themselves an out because they wanted to still see Daniel Jones prove it. First year of that contract was a nightmare. We'll see exactly what second year is and how it plays out this season.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I agree. You know, and I think, you know, everyone says it, that playoff win against the Vikings jumped the gun for the organization. And I think as a result of that, he got that contract, which looking back at it now was obviously a misstep, but it is what it is. You have to deal with the cards you have in front of you. And I think that's what Shane's doing now. And, you know, I would have liked them to have drafted a defensive tackle to pair up with Dexter Lawrence up front. But I think their defense is going to be in the top of the league this year. That pass rushing tandem between now Spider-Man and KT is going to be nasty. These are two top guys in the league at rushers. And everyone's talking about, you know, the scheme from Wittendale, from Wink, Martindale to the current
Shane Bowen,
defensive GM. Yeah, two completely different schemes. These guys are going to be able to hunt now and just be their natural selves, just get up to the quarterback. Before, people were like, oh, Thibodeau stinks. Yeah, because he's dropping back into coverage. He's not being a pure edge rusher. So it's different looks, different schemes. But now they'll be able to, you know, do what they were paid to do, what they were drafted to do.
Really, yeah, I mean, Jason, and listen, Wink was, you know, I know it didn't end well here with the Giants, but and Wink wears out his welcome. Did in Baltimore with Harbaugh, did here in New York with the Giants. I mean, but there's, you know, he's got a little Rex to him. There is no doubt that Wink is a really creative defensive coordinator, you know, where he puts the acumen of the opposing quarterback to the test in the schemes that he devises and where the pressure's coming from. Not everything is going to look one and the same. Doesn't make it easy. Doesn't make it simple pre-snap. So, yeah, he's a great defensive coordinator. And you hate losing great coaches. But in the end, you know, from a coaching staff perspective, everybody's got to be on the same page. And you're right about Kayvon Thibodeau. You know, he might not be as limber, loose. He might be a little stiff, might be a little rigid. All those things that you saw at Oregon, you've seen in the National Football League. But, you know, he has got, you know, the ability to go out there and create pressure. And that's really, the sack number is the sack number. Can you consistently get the other opposing quarterback to go out there and move their feet? Can you get them to move them off the spot? Can you make them uncomfortable? Can you make them throw it a hair quicker than they need to throw it or want to throw it? That's really what the defensive line and the front seven are going out there and being paid to do. And I think the combination of Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns can be really, really special. I really do. 11:20 on this Wednesday midday. Mark Melusis with you in for BT and Sal. Number to call, of course, 888-808-1019. We are an interactive radio station. We'll come back. Football, the theme early right here, The Fan and you.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Call now, be the fifth caller. 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326. Last chance to win a pair of tickets to see Limp Bizkit, PNC Bank Arts Center, Tuesday, July 30th. From our friends at Live Nation, to purchase tickets, visit LiveNation.com. Listen again tomorrow at the same time for another chance to win. Wappingers Falls we go. It's Mike. It's the Fan. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, Mark. Raider fan. And I wanted to hear your thoughts on what the Raiders might look like if they got rid of Adams, because I would make the trade. Great player. I don't think he fits into the way they're going to try to play football this year. And I wanted to hear your thoughts.
On what the Raiders would look like? Well, I mean, the Raiders have got to find their quarterback of the future. There's reports out there that after Brandon Ayuk requested his trade from the San Francisco 49ers because of the familiarity Antonio Pierce has with Ayuk when Ayuk was a star wide receiver at Arizona State, that the Raiders would be interested in trading for Brandon Ayuk. So what are the Raiders going to look like? I think they're going to be a team that is going to take on the mantra of their head coach in Pierce, who I think was a massive upgrade for McDaniels, who had completely and utterly lost that team. You got to find that quarterback. Minshew is a nice kind of stopgap quarterback, and we saw him play well last year for the Indianapolis Colts after their stud rookie quarterback, Anthony Richardson, got hurt and suffered that shoulder injury. You love Crosby coming out off the edge, getting after the quarterback, but they've got to improve their line play up front.
I agree with everything you said. I think they're going to try in that division to play a defensive style of football with clock management. And, I think that if they could get something for IU or for Adam, I didn't hear the thing about the IU trade. I'm on the same page with you with everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are trying to connect the dots. Now, the 49ers have come out, and after the report came out that he requested a deal, so they're not trading him. Because if you take, let's be honest, Pearsall is on the non-football injury list. That news came out for San Francisco as well yesterday. He was their first-round pick, the rookie wide receiver out of Florida. But if you take Ayuk off the team, who exactly is the vertical threat in Shanahan's 49ers offense?
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
That's the issue you have if you're San Francisco, right? Because Deebo Samuel's more like, you know, he can do a lot of different things, but he is not that. He is not what Ayuk was last year in that 49er offense. If you take him off that team, what exactly then does it look like? Now, maybe San Francisco go. I think when push comes to shove, I think Brandon Ayuk is still a 49er. I don't think he gets moved. It's fascinating, this Davante Adams story with the Jets. I don't know exactly what to believe. I'm sure there's something to it. Like I mentioned before, Boomer is not going to come on these airwaves and be irrational and throw something up against the wall and see if it sticks, right? And then you get it backed up by Dan Orlovsky, who said it's a done deal. You had the agent come out saying there's no truth to it. You see the frustration that Davante Adams had in that, you know, receivers Netflix series. I know that's been pointed out. Obviously, he didn't enjoy playing with Jimmy Garoppolo. But if you're the Jets, like, there's no contrarian viewpoint. Like, nobody's going to come on the airwaves with any kind of sane thought and tell you, don't get Davante Adams if you can get him. Because the Jets' championship window is a year, maybe two. You thought it was last year. That all changed four plays into the season after Aaron Rodgers ruptured his Achilles tendon.
Since I'm a Raider fan, I love to stir the pot. How about Adams for Gardner straight up?
No, there's no way. There's no way, Mike. I know you'd love to get Sauce, right? Who's working on his golf game this offseason, but no, that's not happening. That's not happening. I mean, the draft capital, you know, maybe it's a pick based on play, maybe based on production. He has another year where he has, you know, 104 receptions, and he's got, you know, he's had I think it's like 95 touchdown catches for his career as Davante Adams. He's an unbelievable player. He really is. And a guy that developed in Green Bay, became a star receiver, wanted to go out west, wanted to be closer to his family, was a star wide receiver at Fresno State collegiately, and he could play with a lot of different quarterbacks and still be productive, as we saw last year out in Vegas. And as we played the cut earlier this hour, when he was on with Shannon Sharp talking about it on the Club Shay Shay podcast, he said if there's one team or one player to be reunited with, it would be Aaron. So I don't necessarily believe his agent coming out yesterday telling you that, you know, there's nothing to it or it's completely and utterly baseless. I think for the Jets, it's this season is all about trying to, you know, climb that mountain. You need Rodgers to stay healthy, improved offensive line, not only get to the playoffs, but ultimately be that team to beat come the NFL postseason. And you throw an Adams into the mix, and it makes that offense more dynamic. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, do you necessarily need Davante Adams? No. I mean, the Jets have a nice duo wide receiver. Garrett Wilson is an absolute young stud. Anybody that goes out there and disparages Breece Hall for whatever reason, I have no idea. But if you don't think Breece Hall is a brilliant young running back, I don't understand what you're watching. Then you got Mike Williams, who, if he can stay healthy, Mike Williams has shown you to be a big-time deep threat and did out in Los Angeles with the Chargers, did collegiately at Clemson. So I don't necessarily need Davante Adams, but the rich then would get richer. And you look at this Jet team, the expectations still, with or without Adams, the expectations are to go out, be a playoff team, compete for the AFC East, get to the postseason, and then go on a run. Those are the expectations, whether he's here or whether he's not. It's interesting because this morning I get into WFAN, just kind of a little bit behind the scenes. Go get a cup of coffee, walking back there with Pete Hoffman. Dove, we talked about his return yesterday after 3 months being on the WFAN IL after I think he like ruptured a tendon in his quad. And it was good to see Dove back, right? But I'm walking back to go get a cup of coffee with Hoffman across the way. And Pete was saying, Dove's out today. I'm like, why is he out? What happened? He goes, I don't know. I think he might have pink eye. I go, really? Well, I'm glad he's staying home then. He does. He's got pink eye. I go, who's coming in? He goes, I'm going to run the board for the first hour and 15 minutes. And Pete, you can interject if I say that anything that's not true, right? So first hour and 15 minutes, you're going to be running the board. Zoo's then going to hop on a board, take over from me. I'm going to do both jobs like guys do on the overnights, guys and gals that work the overnight. They do both jobs, right? Zoo's going to hop in. I love Zoo. Work with him each and every Sunday morning. Salt of the earth. Fantastic. Okay, great. Hopefully Dove's feeling better. Walk into the newsroom. Dove's sitting there. I say, Dove, why are you here? Well, I texted with Ryan or Dave, and they said, leave it up to me. And he decided to come in. I said, don't you have pink eye? He goes, I don't know, maybe. I go, well, if you might have pink eye, like, why would you decide to come in? Like, that's a highly contagious thing. Like, why would you make the decision? I know you've been out a while, but why would you ultimately make the decision to come into the building with the potential that you're walking into these studios having pink eye?
Well, because Dove is selfless. He wanted to work with you, and he wanted to be part of the team. So sometimes you got to come into work no matter what, even if you're injured.
No, I understand. Like, listen, and I'm all for playing hurt. Like, I really am. But when you have, like, pink eye, like, that's to a different level. Like, that really is, like, the last thing I want to do is work this week. All of a sudden, I contract pink eye for whatever reason. Highly contagious, right? Pink eye is. Walk home, go home, and all of a sudden, all my kids have pink eye.
Well, good thing he gets to drive home today.
And his eyes are like as red as anything. And so then I'm doing my open to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, and Zoo walks in beforehand. He takes over and then promptly has a can of Lysol or whatever disinfectant it might be. And whatever Dove potentially could have touched, like Zoo sprayed down the entire, it was just unbelievably efficient, sprayed down the entire studio.
My efficiency rating's off the chart. You know
that. It was amazing. Like, you might have used half a can of disinfectant spray to spray down that entire studio.
That's what it's here for, baby.
And Dove hasn't even gone home. He's now out in the newsroom, potentially with pink eye, and is sitting out in the newsroom, and he's here. Like, why wouldn't he just... And I love Dove. Dove is the best. But why wouldn't you go see a doctor? Like, if you potentially have pink eye, like, why wouldn't you just go home, go see a doctor? Maybe it's a broken blood vessel. Maybe it's not pink eye. I noticed it yesterday when I was leaving the studios after doing the Tuesday midday show. I was like, Dove's eyes are really red. But sometimes that happens when you don't get sleep or you have sleep apnea or something's going wrong. I was surprised. I was like, all right, Dove's eyes are really red. Hopefully he gets a good night's rest tonight. I didn't understand that maybe pink eye would be part of the equation. yet he came in today, and right now he's sitting outside the studio in the newsroom and potentially has a contagious, infectious pink eye.
By the way, this is your fault. This is all your fault.
Because he wants to work with me.
No. Well, that slash, why the hell didn't you tell him yesterday? I told him immediately. Why didn't you call it out? This is you in a nutshell. You don't, when you see something, like if you see food in someone's mouth, like in a tooth, you're not the guy that goes and says, hey, by the way, you got something in there.
That is true. You're right about that. I don't.
That's your fault.
That's fair. That's a good assessment of me. You're right. I observe things. I don't point it out. Like someone's got broccoli in their teeth. Someone eats like a seeded bagel and all of a sudden they have it, like the poppy seeds, sesame seeds, they're all up in their like gums. Like I don't really necessarily say anything. That's fair. Have a little scallion cream cheese. You got the green scallion stuck in your teeth. I don't say. You're right. I didn't say. I thought he was just tired. Like, I thought he was just tired and his eyes were a little bloodshot. Like, didn't get a good night rest. I didn't realize it. But it was amazing. Like, the turn of events this morning went from Pete running both things for the first, like, 70 to 90 minutes before Zoo gets in here. Zoo was on the bat phone this morning. Dove is under the weather. He may or may not have pink eye. All of a sudden, Dove's in the newsroom. He's running the board. Zoo comes in. Dove's still in the newsroom. And Dove still might have pink eye. That's where we're at.
How's Chip doing?
Oh, he's feeling much better.
Yeah?
Yes.
Better than Dove?
Yes. Chip, now, it has been a fascinating week. Like, I don't know if, like, and marriage is difficult. For those that are unmarried, right? Marriage is hard. It's, you know, my wife tells me that every day. Marriage is difficult. Being married to me is very hard, right? So, like, I don't know if my wife hates a strong word. I will use the term dislike. I don't know if my wife dislikes me at this stage or Chip the dog more. It kind of goes back and forth. My wife was not a dog owner. They didn't have dogs growing up. None of that stuff. Didn't have cats. Didn't have fish. Didn't have turtles. Didn't have, you know, didn't have a pet turtle. Didn't have anything. Like that was not the, you know, the Lori household in East Chester, New York, right? So Melusa's household was different. Like, I had a gerbil, I had a turtle, snapping turtle, didn't last all that long, returned that to Pet Place 2 in beautiful Nanuet, New York. You know, had dogs, my mom had cats, like, you know, we had animals, right? So, you know, we got Chip from a breeder about April, and Chip is gotten bigger than we would have expected. He's about 25, 26 pounds right now. He's only about 6.5 months old, but Chip has had explosive diarrhea for the better part of 5.5 days. Now, listen, I to the point where I didn't even say this yesterday. Like, yesterday I woke up and got up and cleaned out his pen, and it was all over the place. And it was coming out both ends. He was very sick, very under the weather. And I nearly almost threw up. Like, the smell was just that overpowering. It was just amazing. But what we did yesterday, thanks to the sound advice, the sage advice of everyone here that called in and people on social media on X as well, asking me about where Chip is. We brought Chip to our vet. Chip stayed at the vet hospital yesterday from about 9:30 in the morning to 6 p.m. Chip got a little IV, had a little food, didn't have any accidents. The stool started to harden up a little bit. He came home with some meds. And Chip this morning, no accidents. There was not that smell wafting through the Melusa's household. And it wafts. And it takes over. And it's dominating. Now, my kid's taking care of the dog. That's a different story. As everybody warned me, I remember as a kid when we first got the dogs and, you know, we adopted Naya from the North Shore Animal League. And my dad would be like, well, you guys got to take care of it. Sure, we'll take care of it. Ended up my dad obviously taking care of it. And it happens, right? Pleading with my kids to please walk the dog. Like, Chip has got to go out. He's standing by the door, pleading to go out. Like, I can't walk him every single time. I'm not even asking you to clean up afterward outside. Just tell me where he went. I'll go out with the baggie and clean up. Just pleading with them. Boys. Because here's the deal. We've reached a point, and Jackson, my oldest, does a better job than Paul and Gregory. But I plead with him. I go, listen, if you don't take care of Chip, Chip is going to find a new home. We are at this stage. And I think my wife, over the last 5 days, not being a dog lover. She doesn't, well, dislike. Didn't grow up with animals in the house. The last 5 days put my wife over the edge with the dog. She goes, listen, I've cleaned diapers. I've stayed up with kids all night. I've wiped rear ends. I've done all that. I've done my duty. I've done it for the three boys. And she did. My wife did an unbelievable job. She's like, I'm not doing it for a dog. I was like, that's a fair point. You wanted the dog. I didn't. You thought the kids would take care of it. You thought this would be a good thing for the household. You thought that you only live once. The kids would be a fantastic experience. This has been a disaster. I'm like, thanks, Donna. Appreciate it. Every time I walk in the house, though, every time I see Chip, always wagging his tail, always happy to see me. My wife, that runs about, right now, 30-70 to the negative. Maybe 20-80. 11:44. Malusis with
me. When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signal. Takes the snap. Looks left. Talks about it. First wide open. Touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone.
Touchdown.
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, couple updates. Stove, if you're curious, has got a 3:45 doctor appointment this afternoon. Erica Herskowitz, who is fantastic, lover, texted me, you're definitely getting pink eye. Thank you for the confidence, Erica. I appreciate that. The last thing I need is... But I'm glad Dove came in and played hard. Zoo's now running the board across the way.
Bro, just think about it. You can have Chip running around doing his business, and then you can have pink eye at the same time. I mean, listen,
yeah, good day. And- like, we were joking around about it during the course of the break. Like, I think it's reached a point where, and, like, we can't even let Chip, and we don't have, like, the electrified fence or, not electrified, but the electric fence. I know some dog owners have that, let them loose in the backyard. Like, we have a lot of woods, and I have, like, this huge, like, vast backyard or whatever. But, you know, Chip is now a runner. So, when he was a puppy, you used to let him out of the back. He used to just stay in the perimeter. Now he runs. He like sprints. He runs to other neighbors. Starts barking at them. All those things. So, like to the point where, like I think if like Donna was like I've had enough and took Chip and dropped him off somewhere, it would be like as Zoo mentioned the movie Homeward Bound. Was that the name of the movie, Zoo?
Oh yeah.
Where the dog all of a sudden finds his way back home, and then Donna would open the door. There would be Chip, and Chip would promptly. Either go to the bathroom or puke. That would basically be it. Let's head out to Long Island. It's Peter. What's going on? Hold on. Let's see here.
Hey, Moose.
I made a mistake. Let's go to Peter. What's going on, Peter? How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Moose? I appreciate you guys taking my call. I'm sorry to hear about Chip. You know, really, it sounds like an internal type of thing with his bowel movements.
Yes.
But I do believe if you could get your wife to like them, there'll be a change. Because I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Me and my girlfriend just got a dog. The difference is she wanted the dog, but she also doesn't want to do the work. So me, I'm already an animal lover. I kind of just jumped on board and said whatever. But, you know, like the dog's a girl dog, so she kind of loves me, even though I also do a little discipline. Like if she bites, I put her lip against her tooth, so she knows not to do it anymore, at least on me. But, yeah, no, like I think if your wife could turn out to love the dog, it would help you, like, greatly.
Yeah, well, Peter, I know, but how do I do that? Like what advice would you have for that? Because we're at a point now where Chip and I might be voted off the island. Like that, we're at that point now where if I push back and it's like the dog is staying, she might say, well, you and the dog can leave.
Well, I mean, most dogs or just any animal, I think in general, like when it comes to cats, like their sex, like they typically like the opposite sex also. So I'm sure Chip loves you, especially if you play with him, but yeah. Like he just may like your wife just because. So if you could get him in good spots, I know right now is a bad spot because of his situation, but like if you could get him in good spots when he's calm, just to cuddle your wife, you know, be sweet on her and easy, you know what I mean? Like, it might make it easier for you, you know? And even in your kids' sake, too. I mean, if they have to love the dog, who doesn't love a dog, you know? So
listen, Peter, I'm with you. I'm a dog lover. I do. But Chip is pushing the boundaries. Yeah. Here's the other problem with Chip. He's a male, right? And he has not. Yeah. He has yet to be fixed. And he has taken to my middle son, Paul, to where he jumps on Paul and then starts to try and do business, if you know what I mean.
I don't know.
And then Paul,
at such a young age?
And Paul is like, what is he doing? And I don't know I don't know exactly how to explain. I said, just get him away, knock him down. I go, like, and he does it, like, constantly. And I'm like, I don't know how to explain. He's like, what does that mean? I go, I don't know exactly how to explain it. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I was flabbergasted. I'm tongue-tied. Like, I talk for a living. I didn't know how to explain to my 9-year-old son exactly what the dog is trying to accomplish. I said, just knock him away. I yelled at him, like, Chip, down. No, stop.
What kind of toys do you have for Chip? Maybe you get him a big duck like on Flick.
I don't know. I'm going to start throwing Mickey Mouse or some stuffed animals into his pen. Like, I don't know what to say to him. How do you explain it? Like, what do you do? Like, that's the other thing with Chip. You get me into conversations I'm really not ready to have with my kids yet. They're 11, 9, and 7. The dog is pushing the boundaries. Middletown we go. It's Chris. It's the fan. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Moose, what's happening, my man?
How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. Hey, Moose, I got a guy for the Mets to take a look at for the bullpen. I'll hang up and see what you got to say. But what do you think about looking at Kyle Finnegan from the Nationals to help them maybe set up for Diaz?
What are you willing to give up for Finnegan? I got to look up his stats.
Well, maybe someone like Kevin Parada that we got down in Double-A ball in Binghamton.
The former first-round draft choice?
Well, yeah, well, Kyle Finnegan is a real good closer. I think he'd be really good setup, man, for Diaz. And he'd really be like a fourth guy coming to that bullpen with Phil Maton and the other guys that we got there. And I think he'd be good fit for us. I think he'd be worth it for a year.
I don't
know
offhand. I got to look it up. What is his contract situation?
I don't know.
You don't know when you look at him?
No.
Yeah, he's got a 2.45 ERA. He's got 25 saves on the season. Yeah, I mean, he's been really good. What is that, Zoo? Next year arbitration after this season. All right, yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm going to give up what you gave up to go get him, but yeah, he would be an option to go get. The Mets need to add arms to this team, and they need quality bullpen arms. There's no question about it. So you throw out Kyle Finnegan, who's had a real good year for the Washington Nationals. I don't know if I'm giving up what you want to give up to go get him. That's a heavy price. I wouldn't give up Parada. If you're talking about Mason Miller from the Oakland Athletics, you're getting into the conversation where you're giving up that caliber of prospect. Let's head out to Tinton Falls. It's Mark. It's the fan. What's going on, Mark?
I'm going to talk to you about Chip. I got 4 little dogs.
Oh, nice. What breed? What breed of dog do you have?
Chihuahua. A Yorkie type of Maltese mix, and then I got a little Yorkie, and also that didn't like me for 6 years, and also a Terrier. My girlfriend passed away 2 years ago, so basically, more keeping together, which they were both, you know, ours. So I do, and I'm busy, you know, I cut grass during, you know, here in Monmouth County, so I got a busy thing, but. Your wife, who does, she's not big on the dog, and I'm an animal lover. Lock them both in the trunk for 3 hours. Go back and unlock the trunk. The one that has the biggest reaction to you, that's the one you keep.
Your advice is to lock my wife and the dog in the trunk for 3 hours, and whoever's happier to see me unlock the trunk is the one that stays.
Yeah, it's an old joke. I mean, someone always says, put your wife and the dog in the trunk for 3 hours.
I understand. Like, then, I love dogs. Like,
me too.
Dogs are great, right? The man's best friend. They're there. They're always wagging the tail. Chip, I got home last night at midnight from PIX. Like, they was happy to see me. Everything's great, right? It always gives me a big hello, right? You know, but if you're, like, let's be realistic here. Like, happy wife, happy life. Like, there's, I was talking to Hoff. Hoff was going, you have to make it through the next 2 years. I'm like, Pete, I'm trying to make it through the week, all right? Not necessarily the next 2 years. I'm trying to survive. Get me to Sunday, all right? And then we'll see how Monday looks.
What I do with my dogs, or I feed them at night, they get a little bit of dog food at night. They get dog food and kibble in the morning. But then I cook, I boil chicken, brown rice, and carrots. And they get a little mixture of that at night with dog food.
Yeah, Mark, but here's the, I love my wife, Donna. My wife doesn't cook. Now you're asking me to go out there and have my wife cook for the dog? Like, that's not happening. Like, that's not happening. Like, I'll give you a little example. July 4th. Heat up the grill. My kids are looking for a little bit of barbecue. I'm working here at WFAN, doing the show from home, right? Heat up the grill. I come back up during the course of one of the breaks. The burgers and hot dogs are not on the grill. The grill is 900 degrees because it was heating up for like 15 minutes with the cover down. And my wife is sitting outside talking to her mom. Like, there is, like, if you're thinking like, Donna Malusis is all of a sudden going to cook chicken and brown rice for Chip on a day-in, day-out basis. Like, that ain't happening. That is not, and I love my wife. She's great, but that is not, that's not the lean. Like, there's the things that can happen and the things that can't happen. That is not happening. We've hit noon. Update time. Look who it is. It's good to see him. How are you, Bogus?
Moose, I'm doing really good. Good to see you, more importantly.
How's the family? Everyone good?
Everybody's good. No dog or wife issues on my end at the moment.
There never have been. Have there?
Never had a dog. Wife has had issues with me at times, yeah.
For sure.
The normal stuff, but I'm with you. Like, just get me to Friday.
Yeah.
We're not planning 2 years down the road.
Yeah, Pete's like, just get through the next 2 years with the dog. Two years? My wife was asking me the other, can you call the breeder? Can we get rid of him? I go, affect the kids.
Did
a
you keep
bit.
The receipt?
Now we're at a loss here. We're at a loss on a lot of different levels. Maybe 2080. 11:44. Malusis with
you. When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manny calling signal. Takes the snap. Looks left. Pops it up. First is wide open. Touchdown, Giants. And a left corner of the end zone.
Touchdown.
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Couple updates, Dove, if you're curious. He's got a 3:45 doctor appointment this afternoon. Erica Herskowitz, who is fantastic, lover, texted me, you're definitely getting pink eye. Thank you for the confidence, Erica. I appreciate that. The last thing I need is... But I'm glad Dove came in and played hard. Zoo's now running the board across the way.
Bro, just think about it. You can have Chip running around doing his business, and then you can have pink eye at the same time. I mean, listen,
yeah,
good day.
Like, we were joking around about it during the course of the break. Like, I think it's reached a point where, and like, we can't even let Chip, and we don't have like the electrified fence or not electrified, but the electric fence. I know some dog owners have that, let them loose in the backyard. Like, we have a lot of woods and I have like this huge, like, vast backyard or whatever. But, you know, Chip is now a runner. So when he was a puppy, you used to let him out of the back. He used to just stay in the perimeter. Now he runs. He like sprints. He runs to other neighbors. Starts barking at them. All those things. So, like, to the point where, like, I think if like Donna was like, I've had enough, and took Chip and dropped him off somewhere, it would be like, as Zoo mentioned, the movie Homeward Bound. Was that the name of the movie, Zoo?
Oh yeah.
Where the dog all of a sudden finds his way back home, and then Donna would open the door. There would be Chip, and Chip would promptly. Either go to the bathroom or puke. That would basically be it. Let's head out to Long Island. It's Peter. What's going on? Hold on. Let's see here.
Hey, Moose.
I made a mistake. Let's go to Peter. What's going on, Peter? How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Moose? I appreciate you guys taking my call. I'm sorry to hear about Chip. You know, really, it sounds like an internal type of thing with his bowel movements.
Yes.
But I do believe if you could get your wife to like them, there'll be a change. Because I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Me and my girlfriend just got a dog. The difference is she wanted the dog, but she also doesn't want to do the work. So me, I'm already an animal lover. I kind of just jumped on board and said whatever.
But, you know, like, the dog's a girl dog, so she kind of loves me, even though I also do a little discipline. Like, if she bites, I put her lip against her tooth, so she knows not to do it anymore, at least on me. But, I think if your wife could turn out to love the dog, it would help you, like, greatly.
Yeah, well, Peter, I know, but how do I do that? Like, what advice would you have for that? Because we're at a point now where Chip and I might be voted off the island. Like, that... We're at that point now where if I push back and it's like the dog is staying, she might say, well, you and the dog can leave.
Well, I mean, most dogs, or just any animal, I think in general, like even when it comes to cats, like their sex, like they typically like the opposite sex also. So I'm sure Chip loves you, especially if you play with him. But yeah. Like he just may like your wife just because. So if you could get him in good spots, I know right now is a bad spot because of his situation. But like if you could get him in good spots when he's calm, just to cuddle your wife. You know, be sweet on her and easy, you know what I mean? Like, it might make it easier for you, you know? And even in your kids' sake, too. I mean, if they have to love the dog, who doesn't love a dog, you know? So,
listen, Peter, I'm with you. I'm a dog lover. I do. But Chip is pushing the boundaries. Yeah. Here's the other problem with Chip. He's a male, right? And he is not. Yeah. He is yet to be fixed. And he has taken to my middle son, Paul, to where he... jumps on Paul and then starts to try and do business, if you know what I mean.
I don't know.
And then Paul,
at such a young
age, and Paul is like, what is he doing? And I don't know I don't know exactly how to explain. I said, just get him away, knock him down. I go, like, and he does it like constantly. And I'm like, I don't know how to explain. He's like, what does that mean? I go, I don't know exactly how to explain it. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I was flabbergasted. I'm tongue-tied. Like, I talk for a living. I didn't know how to explain to my 9-year-old son exactly what the dog is trying to accomplish. I said, just knock him away. I yelled at him, like, Chip, down. No, stop.
What kind of toys do you have for Chip? Maybe you get him a big duck, like on Click.
I don't know. I'm going to start throwing Mickey Mouse or some stuffed animals into his pen. Like, I don't know what to say to him. How do you explain it? Like, what do you do? Like, that's the other thing with Chip. You get me into conversations I'm really not ready to have with my kids yet. They're 11, 9, and 7. The dog is pushing the boundaries. Middletown we go. It's Chris. It's the fan. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Moose, what's happening, my man?
How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. Hey, Moose, I got a guy for the Mets to take a look at for the bullpen. I'll hang up and see what you got to say. But what do you think about looking into Kyle Finnegan from the Nationals to help him maybe set up for Diaz?
What are you willing to give up for Finnegan? I got to look up his stats.
Well, maybe someone like Kevin Parada that we got down in Double-A ball in Binghamton.
The former first-round draft choice?
Well, yeah. Well, Kyle Finnegan is a real good closer. I think he'd be really good setup, man, for Diaz. And he'd really be like a fourth guy to come into that bullpen with Phil Baton and the other guys that we got there. And I think he'd be good fit for us. I think he'd be worth it for a year.
I don't know offhand. I got to look it up. What is his contract situation?
I don't know.
You don't know when you look at him?
No.
Yeah, he's got a 2.45 ERA. He's got 25 saves on the season. Yeah, I mean, he's been really good. What is that, Zoo? Next year arbitration after this season. All right, yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm going to give up what you gave up to go get him, but yeah, he would be an option to go get. The Mets need to add arms to this team, and they need quality bullpen arms. There's no question about it. So you throw out Kyle Finnegan, who's had a real good year for the Washington Nationals. I don't know if I'm giving up what you want to give up to go get him. That's a heavy price. I wouldn't give up Parada. If you're talking about Mason Miller from the Oakland Athletics, you're getting into the conversation where you're giving up that caliber of prospect. Let's head out to Tinton Falls. It's Mark. It's the fan. What's going on, Mark?
I'm going to talk to you about Chip. I got 4 little dogs.
Oh, nice. What breed? What breed of dog do you have?
Chihuahua, a Yorkie type of Maltese mix, and then I got a little Yorkie and also that didn't like me for 6 years, and also a Terrier. My girlfriend passed away 2 years ago. So basically,
Mark, keep them together, which we, they were both, you know, ours. So I do, and it's, I'm busy, you know, walk them, you know, look, that's, you know, I cut grass during, you know, here in Monmouth County. So I got a busy thing, but your wife, who does, she's not big on the dog, and I'm an animal lover. Lock them both in the trunk for 3 hours. Go back and unlock the trunk. The one that has the biggest reaction to you, that's the one you keep.
Your advice is to lock my wife and the dog in the trunk for 3 hours. And whoever is happier to see me unlock the trunk is the one that stays.
Yeah, it's an old joke. I mean, someone always says, put your wife and the dog in the trunk for 3 hours.
I understand. And like, then, I love dogs. Like,
I, dogs
are great, right? The man's best friend, they're there. They're always wagging the tail. Chip, I got home last night at midnight from PIX. Like, they was happy to see me. Everything's great, right? It always gives me a big hello, right? You know, but if you're, like, let's be realistic here. Like, happy wife, happy life. Like, there's, I was talking to Hoff. Hoff was going, you have to make it through the next 2 years. I'm like, Pete, I'm trying to make it through the week, all right? Not necessarily the next two years. I'm trying to survive. Get me to Sunday. All right, and then we'll see how Monday looks.
What I do with my dogs, or I feed them at night, they get a little bit of dog food at night. They get dog food and kibble in the morning. But then I cook, I boil chicken, brown rice, and carrots. And they get a little mixture of that at night with dog food.
Yeah, Mark, but here's the, I love my wife, Donna. My wife doesn't cook. Now you're asking me to go out there and have my wife cook for the dog? Like, that's not happening. Like, that's not happening. Like, I'll give you a little example. July 4th, heat up the grill. My kids are looking for a little bit of barbecue. You know, I'm working here at WFAN, doing the show from home, right? Heat up the grill. I come back up during the course of one of the breaks. The burgers and hot dogs are not on the grill. The grill is 900 degrees because it was heating up for like 15 minutes with the cover down. And my wife is sitting outside talking to her mom. Like, there is, like, if you're thinking, like, Donna Malusis is all of a sudden going to cook chicken and brown rice for Chip on a day-in, day-out basis, like, that ain't happening. That is not, and I love my wife. She's great, but that is not, we're not, that's not the lean. Like, there's the things that can happen and the things that can't happen. That is not happening. We've hit noon. Update time. Look who it is. It's good to see him. How are you, Bogus?
Moose, I'm doing really good. Good to see you, more importantly.
How's the family? Everyone good?
Everybody's good. No dog or wife issues on my end at the moment.
There never have been. Have there?
Never had a dog. Wife has had issues with me at times, yeah.
For sure.
The normal stuff, but I'm with you. Like, just get me to Friday.
Yeah.
We're not planning 2 years down the road.
Yeah, Pete's like, just get through the next 2 years with the dog. Two years? My wife was asking me the other, can you call the breeder? Can we get rid of him? I go, affect the kids.
Did
a
you keep
bit.
The receipt?
Now we're at a loss here. We're at a loss on a lot of different levels.